Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Her name is Emily DeCarrot. I hope I'm saying that right. She's a fashion designer and singer-songwriter. Can music exist without the influence of fashion? For designer Emily DeCarrot, fashion and music cannot be separated. DeCarrot creates an immersive world of storytelling through music, film, and fashion. Each artistic direction begins with a beat that forms a story. From the start of her brand, she has fused those worlds together, creating a symbolic flow between the two. She uses textiles, shapes, and sound as her tools to world building and give her audience the chance to step into those stories and experience themselves. She graduated from Institut Marangoni in Paris and the prestigious École de la Chambre Syndicale de la Couture Parisienne, where she's trained in the French technique of draping and pattern making. Soon after, she graduated from the Musicians Institute in Los Angeles. She made her runway debut with concept shows during LA Fashion Week. Now she's pushing the boundaries of her imagination through synth pop. Think of Blondie and David Lynch having a baby in 2020, and that's the direction for her music. Let's welcome Emily DeCarrot. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi. I'm so good. Thank you. Wow. That was such a lovely intro.
Well, you know, I gotta.
You got me excited.
You already made yourself look good. I had to try to make you look good. You know what I mean?
Well, you did.
But how do you say your last name?
DeCarrot.
DeCarrot. Yeah, I didn't do that right. All right. So DeCarrot. Now I've got it. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited.
I am truly honored to have you on. I looked at your website and I was in awe of the imagery on your website. I was like, what?
Thank you.
Let me go back and look. What am I seeing here? And I love the fact that you're extremely unique, you know, putting together the music and the fashion. And somebody's going to ask me, well, that's not really unique, but I think you're doing it in a very unique way. And I just love it. I think this is something new. This is something exciting. First, let me ask you, how did you get into the whole fashion design thing?
Honestly, it's been something that before I knew what fashion was, I just loved it. My mom was such a big influence because she would sew for fun, and she would make me clothes. And so I just loved the sound of the sewing machine and would always grab like little scraps of fabric. And she would teach me how to hand sew little clothing for my Barbie dolls.
Right.
So it started with that. And I just never gave it up. I became obsessed with it, with costuming too, and like in old cinema, and I love movies, and again with my parents that really influenced what we saw at home. We used to watch a lot of like Bewitched, I Love Lucy, I Dream of Jeannie. So naturally I like became very interested in like Marilyn Monroe and Ava Gardner. So that old classic Hollywood style I just loved, and it was just kind of sad that it wasn't something that I could personally experience because it was a time that had gone and passed. And then I just started to, you know, just kind of like delve into more about designers. And I originally loved Coco Chanel, everything she stood for. But then when I found Yves Saint Laurent, that's where I just knew, okay, this is for me. I just felt a connection with his designs and his vision and how he saw, how he took strong masculine pieces, put them into women's clothing. And I mean, he, you know, came out with Le Smoking, which was this tuxedo for a woman. And she just looked so sexy, confident, strong. And that's what I, when I saw that, I just knew this is what I want to do. I want to design for women sexy, strong pieces that make you like, that just kind of bring out the strength of ourselves. And, you know, you feel confident. Like you, I don't know why we all like in so many ways, and whether it be other women or men or like the male gaze that kind of, you know, can intimidate you to really explore that side. I feel like women just tend to, like, people tend to make, or society in general, make us feel guilty for wanting to look sexy, for wanting to be feminine, for wanting to show that. And just because we're showing it doesn't mean that, oh, hey, I'm here, treat me however you want. No, it's because of me. Like, this is how I feel. I love being a woman. I want to maybe show off a little bit more of the parts that I'm more proud of, or whatever, and it's my right. So, yeah, that's how I got into fashion.
I love that. You are just demonstrating the power of women. You are a powerful woman. I love that. You're demonstrating that through the art of fashion. I mean, yeah, you know, so many times, you know, somebody will say, well, why is she wearing that? She's just asking for it. No. That's not what that's about. A person should be allowed to wear what they want without you thinking that they're trying to get after it. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you speaking your truth through your fashion design and your music as well. I mean, I think that that's just phenomenal. It's fantastic. So how are you putting everything to do together, the fashion and the music?
It started out with when I was in fashion school, I used to watch a lot of the old perfume campaigns, and something that I loved was just how they would create these like mini movies, little short films for the perfume, and it was an actual story. And sometimes these stories would, like Lancôme was one where they would kind of continue that story with the next year, with like the new launch of like whatever perfume they were doing. And I just fell in love with that, and I felt like that was something that we weren't quite doing in fashion yet. I mean, fashion films obviously already existed, but it tended to be a bit more apt and more of like the mood that you were trying to tell. And I didn't quite see a story there. And so when I started my, I moved back to LA to start my own brand. And I just knew that I needed to do something to connect these three different medias, which was fashion, film, and music. And in a way where it felt natural and organic. And if, for example, you couldn't get the clothing, or it's just out of your price point or whatever, you can still experience that story through the visuals and through the music, and you know, and take that with you. And because I think that's how I would do with fashion too. As a little girl, I would look at the fashion shows and, you know, escape and into that collection and dream about wearing those clothes. And so it was just a bit of that, like trying to find a way where I could make people excited about fashion, about music, about just, I don't know, about imagining, really, like putting yourself in that story, in that heroine's place, and making it your own.
I get that. What I love is the fact that you can incorporate your own designs in your music videos. How great!
Yeah.
Is that?
It's, you know, I was, there was a time where, because I grew up loving fashion, music, and dance, and when it was time to, you know, really think about my future, I decided to put music to the side and dancing and performing and just pursue fashion. And I always hoped that fashion would, you know, tie me back to music, and it really did, because when I design, I would always make out like a little soundtrack or a lot of like movie soundtracks and just kind of piece together the world I wanted to create. It just made sense when I started to do my own, and I'm so happy I started with fashion, because I feel like I got the fundamentals out of the way, and right now it's just a period of experimenting with the music, with how I want to put myself within this brand that I created. And yeah, it's just, it's exciting. It's sometimes overwhelming, but I love it.
I'm sure you should, because you're like phenomenal. Like I said, I went to your website and I'm like, wow. That's all I could say was wow. Wow, wow,
oh,
wow.
Thank you.
I'm going to see if I can go to your store and see what I can afford and look in there and see. Oh, my God. I love your stuff. I have to say that your pieces are phenomenal.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who are your main musical influences?
So a big one of mine is David Bowie, and I was just watching The Labyrinth the other day.
I love that film.
I love it. It's so crazy and weird and nonsensical, and I think, like, that's what I love. Like, what I love about 80s films are that most of the time, especially for, like, kids' films, they just drop the story without any explanation. And nowadays, like, everything has to have, oh, wait, it started here, and this is the story. And it's just, it's okay. But I think, like, what's amazing for children especially is, like, to kind of leave it open. So you let, you know, their own imagination kind of think about, oh, how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And David Bowie, for me, is that, where he, first of all, I just admire how much he could have, you know, he might have been, like, at the very top of, like, the trends with music, but mm-hmm. he just kept on and reinventing himself without really the fear of, oh, I'm no longer going to be in style. For him, it was just, I'm going to do a different genre now, and I'm a new character, and now I dress differently, and I'm going to cut my hair and call me this now. And I, like, oh my God.
I just
so
love,
insane. Like,
he was definitely is and was an icon when it came to fashion and changing his appearance and stuff. What I loved about him, he liked to do what he wanted to do. He didn't care what other people thought, and he just did it.
He just did it, yeah. And I feel like, and I love that. And, you know, and I do feel a lot of people don't miss that advantage that you have with fashion, that you could be whoever and dress whoever you want to be. Like, you don't need to follow, you know, Kylie Jenner to look cool or to look relevant. Be you, like, be uniquely you, and that is so beautiful. Which was another thing that I also, like, wanted to go into fashion, where I don't think people understand how beautiful imperfections can be.
Exactly.
And when it comes to designing, it's not that I'm trying to erase those imperfections or put a filter, but it's actually like, okay, how can I use those imperfections, if we want to call them that, and to make it interesting and cool and look at it this way. And David Bowie was definitely like that. He could sometimes look like an alien or like the hunkiest man ever. And I love that.
I mean, I absolutely love what you're saying, because even like my music, I don't like my music to be perfect at all. Like if there was like a little glitch in it, I actually get excited about that. I like it when it's, I like when things are natural. That's what I like.
Right.
Even, you know,
yeah.
Like I'll tell you one thing I hate. I hate when I have to rehearse like my music. I hate rehearsing with a passion, but I know I have to do it. But at the same time, because what I love is when I'll change things up. We'll rehearse something and I'll just change things up when we get to the time of the performance, because I just let whatever's inside me move me. And, you know, I want it to be raw and natural so that the audience can really get what I'm singing or saying. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, completely. Like so even like the breaks in your voice, like it adds something. It adds a feeling like it's something. Oh, you were, you know what? Maybe I can't hit it today, but I'm going to go there. And it just creates this feeling like you connect with the singer with that, or the musicians, where it's like something different. I don't know.
I agree with you.
I like natural.
Yeah. We're sisters in this. We are sisters in this, because I like your whole natural feel. I like the idea that, you know, the whole flaws thing. Flaws can be extremely beautiful. Extremely beautiful. I think we live in a society where, you know, they think you're either supposed to be blonde-haired and blue-eyed to be like the beauty queen. But over time, people, I think, have learned that beauty is in everything.
Mm-hmm. Right, in everything. Like, there is no standard of beauty.
Right.
And I love that we're getting closer to that. I mean, I think we're farther than what we think we are, because at the same time, I do see, especially younger girls, like, in their teens, where I can tell, oh, you're copying this person and that specific person. I just wish that more people would maybe advocate for more uniqueness, as far as like,
I agree.
Hey, you are beautiful the way you are, and I want to see what you're doing, because that's what inspires me. But if I'm seeing, you know, a carbon copy of one person or two, you know, couple influencers, then it's just, I find it boring.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. You know, even, you know, I know that out there are people that, I love cover artists. There's some people that cover music really well. And then, you know, there's some artists that have a favorite artist is like, oh my gosh, I want to be just like them. But if you're trying to get into the music industry, I find that you need to be just like you. You have to be your own individual self, because what the music people out there are looking for is something different. Even though on the radio, you would think that there's only one way to make music, because it all blends together, it all meshes together, because it all sounds the same. Mm-hmm. You know, on seminars and these conferences, they're all like, well, we're looking for the next big thing. You know, they're looking for something, like you said, that's unique, that's different, that's going to give you that aha moment. And you're just like, wow. And I think that's what you have, you know, with the fashion and the singing and blending those things together. It's like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this before. I really got to get into Emily. I have to see her stuff. And let me go to her website and be, wow, whoa, I love this stuff. No, I think that you definitely are on the right track. I love your individuality. I love that you speak your truth. I think you're a very powerful woman, and that you will go far with everything that you're doing. So
thank you.
You're welcome. So tell us about your song Cannibal.
So Cannibal, a very interesting time for me, because it was when I decided to just kind of take a little bit of a break from being a fashion designer. Or like, you know, being in the headspace of that. And I just needed to take a little break from my brand to do some soul searching. And I wasn't planning on necessarily like working on an EP, but I just needed to to test it, to try it out, to see if it worked or failed. I just needed to do that. Because prior to Cannibal, all the music I had worked on, it was always meant to be for the collections I was designing. And I wasn't even really, I wasn't trying too hard to put myself out there as an artist. It was more of like the brand. But it got to a point where I just needed to fall in love with it again, I guess. I think I was starting to burn myself out, so I just needed to take a pause. And that's how Cannibal came to be. It was, first of all, the title was slightly of a placeholder. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of came to mind because I felt like what I love at the moment is kind of destroying me, because I need to take some time to slow things down. You know, the fashion industry is it had become a slow down a bit now because of the pandemic, but before it was going at a lightning speed, and that's why so many designers, you know, were having to be replaced or would sometimes have to like go into rehab for mental health issues, right? Because you're being told that you have to create not just two collections a year, but now it's sometimes eight, and having to compete with fast fashion companies like Zara, H&M, right, and Forever 21. So that's impossible. So suddenly the thing that I loved all my life was just starting to kill me. And, and I felt like a cannibal, a self-inflicting cannibal.
Oh.
So I started to write Cannibal and set fire to the fear, which was an open letter to myself to let go of all the fears and everything that was holding me back, and to just, you know, go for it. And in this case, I didn't have the answer completely, but I just knew I needed to really bring the music up to the same level as fashion, to have it be equally balanced as far as a priority, because both are me, and without the other, I don't feel complete.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what Cannibal is pretty much about. It was also at a time where I dated this guy, and he also was like not the best. So,
right.
Not for very long, but just, you know, it was like, it was just all those things where it was like, I just need to write and really like rethink what I want to do. And that EP Cannibal really helped me, rediscover and fall in love again with fashion, fall in love again with creating, and like at least slow down the fashion part to make it, because I think one of the things that just kind of really it just kind of broke my heart was I had just shown a collection in for New York Fashion Week, and the minute that, you know, the runway was done, like, and the runway shows are so fun, but super hectic. And so right after that, someone came to me and they were like, oh, what are you going to do for your next collection? And I just was like, but I just designed one that's my baby. And it feels like it's nothing. Like, I didn't want to be pulled into that whole, like, mindless consumerism. So it was just all these things where I just really needed to recenter, refocus, and be me and be happy.
Yeah, no, I get it. I myself, you know, when I'm overwhelmed, I'm like, do I really want to do this music stuff? It's kind of getting crazy. I mean, so you can get really overwhelmed with everything that you have to do to market and push yourself and trying to be seen and heard and fighting against the mainstream artist. So I get it. But now we're going to play Cannibal. So let's hear it. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. Thank you, Emily. I love that. I love the groove. I was, you know, bopping my head to it.
Yay! Yay. Thank you.
So I listened to one of, I think, is the Growing Addiction one. You sing in French, don't you? You say something in French.
Yes. Yes, the chorus. Growing Addiction was the first song that I wrote where it was mainly in English, because before this, all the music I was doing it was in French. So that, I was really excited for that.
So, alors tu parles français?
Oui, je parle français.
Parce que tu as étudié en France?
Oui, pour 4 ans.
Ah, j'aime ça, j'aime ça. Alors, quelqu'un d'autre que je parle français avec?
Toi, es-tu française?
Moi, mes parents sont d'Haïti, alors je parle français.
Ah, d'accord.
Et j'ai étudié à le lycée français international ici à Bethesda, Maryland.
Oh, wow, c'est super.
Yeah, well, now nobody's understanding what we're saying. Unless you understand French, you're just like, what the hell are they saying? So I Emily, I noticed in one of her songs that she was speaking French. And I know that she went to school in France, so in Paris. And so I just wanted to do my little French thing. Yeah, so I did a pop album called Leçon d'amour. Four or five years ago. It's like it has some dance songs. It has some love songs in there as well. Yeah, so yeah, my parents are from Haiti. And, you know, we speak Haitian Creole, but what's taught in school is French. So that's where that French comes from. But that's cool.
That's so cool. I'm going to have to check that out because it sounds so beautiful.
Oh. Because
you said Le Son d'amour?
Oui. So it's oui, Le Son d'amour.
I like it.
Yeah, check it out. But I love the fact that you're versatile and that one of the great things about being able to speak or sing in different languages is that you can show a tremendous amount of versatility.
Yes, that's true. And also I feel like, I mean, I was really influenced by French pop from the 70s.
Okay.
And just kind of, I don't know, I fell in love with it. It just felt so dreamy. And also, I really enjoyed singing those songs. So when I came back, I just felt I missed it so much. And it was so exciting to kind of bring that back with me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I loved about Cannibal was being able to explore now, obviously, English and how to use it, which was a little bit trickier, because I find it was just having to switch the way I was singing, and then also kind of there are certain things you can do in French and it just sounds so lovely, and you can really like move the vowels, and in English I felt that was kind of tricky, so it was had to kind of relearn how to, at least the way that I sing, which can be very breathy sometimes, and to be able to do that in English and like feel natural and comfortable. So that was an experience, but I was really happy that I was able to find that happy medium between the two. And the new album that I'll be releasing, well, first the single, the lead single from that album next month called Fading Memories. That whole album is a mix of French and English, and
cool.
Going and we went back a little bit to the more retro sound that I started out with, and bringing in some like that big band feel. We have a trumpet player, saxophone, like flute, along with some really sexy, gritty guitars and some killer drums. So just to kind of give it like that, what we were talking about, that kind of like organic, grainy sound that I just love.
Awesome, awesome. I can't wait to hear it. But right now, we're going to listen to Growing Addiction. First, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. So we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Nikki Chris, and I host a podcast called Mixin' It. Mixin' It focuses on women in the music, entertainment, and the performing arts. Our goal is to provide an avenue for industry veterans and up-and-coming artists, musicians, engineers, and producers to showcase their talent. Listen to Mixin' It on Monday Music Madness at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Sim Radio Network. Thank you.
Another great one. I love that one also. I love the intro with the French because, you know, I like French music.
Thank you.
One of the questions I have you ever written songs for anybody else?
I haven't, actually.
I did that.
It would
for
be
them.
Nice to.
Okay, you heard it here. Emily's ready for you. She's ready to write for you. I think what you do is so amazing. So when does your next album come out?
The next album will come out end of March.
Okay.
I think it's having, like, the date's not quite set, but the single is coming out on March 18th. So I'm still debating on whether I think the album will probably be pushed to the first week of April, just
okay.
so we can have the single out for a little bit before coming out. But yeah, the single's coming out March 18th, and it's called Fading Memories.
Fading Memories. I love the title of that. That's phenomenal. I can't wait to hear it because already what you've told me about yourself and your music, I think it's probably just going to be amazing because you can only do amazing things, it seems.
Oh, thank you. You're the best cheerleader.
I try to be. You know, my friend and I, Nikki Chris, we started the Sisters in Music .org organization because we want to empower women. We want to uplift women. We want to inspire women. We want to tell women we're all on the same page. We can work together. It's like no divas. You got to leave that diva crap at the door. And so our main thing is, you know, we want to create albums and give a percentage of that to female charitable organizations. But, you know, and there are a lot of women organizations out there, but the way that we're different is that there's no tier. So there's no upper class, middle class, lower class. We're all on the same page, no matter where you are in your career. And we want to invite people to, if you have your own podcast, put it under the Sim Radio Network. We're all happy to do that. You know, we want to motivate people. We both love seeing people being successful. And if we can help people on that path as well, that's what we want to do. And, you know, this is the time of the women, the females, you know, out there trying to do their thing. It's important that people see us as great beings as we are. It's not to say that men are not great beings. We need them, obviously, so that we can create other women. I'm just like, well, no, we do need them for that. But and then we love the men that support us, the men that are supporting women in everything that they do. I think it's just so important, don't you think?
Completely. I think, I was very blessed and lucky to grow up in a household where my parents, you know, rely and trust each other and really use each other's strengths. So where my dad is weak, my mom tends to be stronger. So she takes the reins there and vice versa. And you see, it's a real partnership and you have, you know, they use their own individual perspective, I think, to come ahead. And that's what we need. I think, I feel like women in general, like, we're very strong.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like, you're always, like, you always hear, well, women are more emotional. And I think, well, it could be that maybe there are more women who tend to be more expressive. And I think in general, not in absolute, but in general, yes, women tend to, like, we're more confident about showing our emotions. We're more confident to be like, I'm mad or I'm so sad or I'm happy today. And
right.
And I think that that's incredibly powerful because we're able to connect with people through our emotions. And I think, like, the way that women, like, the brain of a woman analyzes problems and creates solutions is very – it's just very interesting, and I feel like we kind of see things more in the bigger, and we need that. So I personally am so excited to have a vice president who is a woman.
Hey, man.
That woman, right, to have her in that position, I feel like this is what we've needed for so long. Like, you need to have both. I'm not saying get rid of the other women, let's trample men. No, but we need it to be equal, because once we get it there, we'll be able to solve a lot of the world's problems. We will have equal voices. We will have different perspectives. We will have, well, as a woman, this is how I feel.
Right.
You know, you're taking into account those feelings. So, yeah, we need women. We definitely we need each other.
Amen. So let our audience know where they can find you.
You could find me on all social media under Emily Dacaret. And my last name is, yes, a little bit difficult to pronounce, but I am actually like the only one with that name. So if you find Emily Dacaret, that will be me. I'm also on Spotify, and if you're interested in streaming my music, it's available on all streaming platforms. Okay. And you could always keep up to date with me on my website, for fashion, emilydacaret.com, and for music, emilydacaretmusic.com.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Emily, for being on my show on Chatting with Nat. It was a pleasure. I learned so much about the fashion industry and the blending of fashion and music. I hope you'll be on our show another time.
Yes, I would love to come back. It was so lovely talking to you.
Awesome sauce. So what's going to happen after this? I'm going to send you the link to the show, and everybody else can hear it and hear all of it and how wonderful and exciting you are. Thanks again for being on the show. You have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.